It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Kia ora, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ah, kia ora. I'm good, thank you, Rachel. Just coming out of my, hopefully, my last day of isolation with COVID. So,
yes, how have you been feeling?
I'm feeling great at the moment. At the worst of it, you know, day two, day three, you know, sore throat, runny nose, a few aches and pains. So I managed to give it to my wife on her birthday. That was really welcome.
Not the
present.
Birthday present I'm sure she was hoping for.
She suffered a bit more than me. She had, you know, quite bad headaches with it. Mm. But, yeah, look, it's so widespread. You know, a couple of months ago, I couldn't have told you anybody that I knew personally with COVID. And now it's a case of, you know, who hasn't had it. So I'm watching those hospitalisation figures, which I think are the most reliable indicators, and hoping that we will soon see a downward trend in those, as we're seeing a downward trend in the Auckland region for new cases. But with the rapid antigen tests, of course, not everybody reports the fact that they have it, so all of the figures are probably an underestimation as everywhere else in the world, for that matter.
So, as you say, the hospitalisation rate's probably the most accurate one to track how we're going. Well, I'm glad to hear you're not feeling too poorly this morning. Thank you for chatting with us today. We have got some conversations to get stuck into about basically what it's like to live in Tāmaki at the moment. We've been hearing a lot in the news about the cost of living rising generally across the country. Also, we want to talk a wee bit about the rates, but let's start with speed limit changes, because that's a very sort of immediate thing that we're seeing happening around the city. What exactly is going to be changing here, and why is it changing?
Yeah, look, the reason, let's start with the why. If you look at the record of deaths on the road and serious injuries on the road in New Zealand, we've had a pretty appalling record. Although, you know, putting that in context, back in 1987, now that was probably before you were born, but we had just under 800 deaths. And over time, we've reduced that down to, I think last year across New Zealand, we had 319 deaths. So, you know, a massive cut over time. But in the middle of this this last decade, we had an upward spike. So we reached up to about 380 deaths again, and that was also reflected in Auckland. We had about 65 deaths. With the changes that we've made in the Vision Zero, or you know, the equivalent program that the government is running, we have managed to get our road toll deaths and serious injuries down. So I think the latest toll for 2020 was about 37 deaths. Now, you know, when you say it runs off your mouth like that, 37 deaths, that's a hell of a lot of people that have died, near what it was at the peak. But what we've done, you know, what are the key causes of road deaths? Well, there are many, but excessive speed and drunk driving are amongst the top ones. And we've had three different consultations through Auckland Transport about lowering speed limits. Now, this isn't always welcome to motorists, including me, you know, because I like to get from A to B as quickly as I safely can. But on the first changes that we made, we reduced speed limits on about 10% of Auckland's urban and rural roads in 2019. And we've just got the figures through on that. There's been a 47% reduction in deaths on roads.
Wow.
Where the speed limits were lowered. So we had the second round of consultations for further speed lowering late last year, and the results of consultation will be out late this month. And then there'll be a third round that that starts following that. And while it is a, you know, people say, look, you know, we'd rather go a bit faster, the fact of the matter is, you know, if you get hit as a pedestrian and somebody's doing 30 k's, you've got a 10% chance of being killed. If they're doing 60 k's an hour, you've got a 95% chance of getting killed. So it is finding a balance between enabling people to get about and do their business and get from A to B as quickly as you safely can, but also reducing that huge weight.
Absolutely.
Of deaths and serious injuries.
Absolutely. Well, it's good to hear that that's having a really positive impact across the city. Let's talk about the cost of living, because it's been a massive conversation in recent times. We've seen COVID really exacerbate problems that already existed across the Motu, but we are seeing, particularly here in Tāmaki Makaurau, it's it's acutely expensive. There's been massive conversations about fuel recently. Of course, the government yesterday has announced some immediate cuts that will hopefully help in the short term for that. We keep hearing an ongoing conversation about public transport here in Tāmaki Makaurau as well. We've talked about it before on this show. What do you think we need to see to make it more affordable for people to get around the city in general? Because it's expensive in a car, it's expensive on the bus, it's expensive on a train at the moment. What would you like to see if you could, without any, I guess, limitations, have it your way?
Yeah, well, look, I think the government moves were probably very welcome to the public yesterday. They are short-term, but then we live in hope that so too will be the oil shock. I mean, oil's $120, $127 a barrel last week. You know, a year and a half ago, it was $60 a barrel. And that impacts on, you know, hugely on everybody's costs and getting around, but it also has an indirect cost on, you know, because every piece of produce that you buy or goods that you buy travel by road or by rail, and the fuel costs come into that. I think in July we are bringing in the Community Connect discount, 50% discount for people who are the lowest income people in the city, and we're trialling that, but I expect it to be long term. Now, the government has moved short term to reduce the public transport fares by 50% starting on the 1st of April, if we can get them instituted within that time frame. Look, I think it's good because it'll encourage more people back on public transport. If we were to do that out of our own budget, the trouble is there is an opportunity cost. You can't both provide more public services, provide more frequent and better quality public services, and cut the fare rates at the same time.
Is it something you'd like to see support from central government in a long-term sense then?
Yeah. Look, what they're doing with the Community Connect scheme from the 1st of July is 50% council, 50% government. But our budgets are minuscule compared to the budgets available to government. And look, COVID has knocked the crap out of our public transport usage. We're down to about 33% of where we were pre-COVID. That's got to come back. And, you know, the temporarily lowering of the fares, I think, will help that, as it will for longer-term lowering of the fares, starting with the lowest-income folk in the community. So, you know, obviously the advantages of that, more people on public transport, less congestion on the roads, less carbon emissions. So we absolutely want to move in that direction.
More broadly on the cost of living at the moment, we're seeing reports that food banks are being used more than they really ever have been in recent times. Are you hearing much from local food banks here in Tāmaki Makaurau about that?
Yeah, look, absolutely. With COVID had a massive impact on that, and Auckland Council started off, as you'll recall, we used the Spark Arena to have a massive food bank there. That function has now been delegated down to the food banks around the city, who are doing a great job. They're funded, hugely funded by government to do that. You know, you can't help but know that when you have something like COVID, the lowest income people are going to be the hardest hit, and the lowest income people are also the people that probably have the highest rates of contracting COVID. So there was a necessary and big effort there. The cost of housing is the one that I really focus on, mm-hmm. because compared to anything else, your housing costs are the biggest single item in your budget. And if you're not in a kianga ora home or a you know, community housing program home, and you're paying a market rent, that's just going to swallow up so much of your budget, which is why it's imperative that we get more social housing built. You know, the government also helps, obviously, there. If you're paying rent, then you get the accommodation subsidy, which runs now into billions of dollars. Yeah. But the clear answer there is to get more permanent and longer-term income-related housing, income-related rental housing, so that you're not really squeezing people particularly at the bottom of the heap.
Well,
and I get a bit frustrated with talk about tax cuts when the tax cuts, as I've worked it out, would give me 10 times more than they'd give a person on a minimum wage. Don't know how you solve poverty by giving tax cuts to people that are already doing pretty well in society.
No. Well, let's talk about rates a little bit here, because that's been another thing that's come up in recent weeks. There's been new council property valuations done, which has seen big rates rises in some of our lower income suburbs in Tāmaki Makaurau. Now, this, it shouldn't, but it does have a trickle-on effect to people living in renting situations. This is something we know is part of our broken renting system here. It shouldn't be the burden of tenants, but there is a lot of concern that that is where this new potential cost might end up. What do you have to say for those concerns?
Well, first of all, we do a rating revaluation every 3 to 5 years, and that is designed to ensure that wherever your house is located, you are paying a level of rates that are equivalent to an equally priced property anywhere else in the city. Now, in the last set of revaluations, the prices had gone through the roof in the wealthier suburbs, and so you were getting big rate increases. We don't get more rate increases just because the value of properties go up. We distribute the rate increases according to the values of the properties. Properties have gone up by 33% in the last 18 months or so. That doesn't mean a 33% increase in rates. It just means that where the property values have gone up higher in some areas, then the rates will go up higher than average in those areas. Whereas this time around, I'm just looking at the rates table now, and Hibiscus and Bays, rates are going up 0.2%.
But we are seeing in some other suburbs about 13% raises in rates.
Central City is about 1.6%. That's low. But where the property values have equalised this time around, they've come up now in the poorer suburbs. So you're seeing places like Mangere o Tahuhu and Manga Kiakia Tāmaki and those areas. Henderson Massey is the other one that I'm focused on, where the rent increases will be higher than average, whereas in, say, Upper Harbour or Hibiscus and Bays,
so
there's barely any rate increase.
This is a problem, and the problem seems to be that it always comes back to, well, it shouldn't end up on the tenants, landlords shouldn't do that. We know that landlords do that when they get a rate increase. What would you like to see change there? Is this a point at which we need to have a conversation about perhaps bringing in some new legislation to prevent that?
Let me push back a bit on that, because all of the evidence that I've read is that private landlords charge and rent what the market allows them to charge. They don't. The rents are not related to the costs facing the landlord as much as they are what the market rent is. So the ordinary private landlord will go along to the real estate agent and say, what's the market rent for a property in this area? And they'll charge the market rent. Now, I know some of them will say, oh, my interest rate's gone up, therefore I'll charge more rent. Or my rates have gone up, I'll charge more rent. Actually, that's not true according to all of the economic studies of what drives the rental market. They will be charging the market rate, and where the rates have gone up higher this time in some of the lower income areas, those are also the areas of lowest home ownership. So it will be the landlord that will be absorbing more of that rather than the tenant. Now, that's just not my opinion. That's what every economic study of how rents are set that I've ever read tells me. So, in some ways, and also in those lower income suburbs, you've got more kianga ora housing. Well, the rental there is income related rental, not related to rates. So there is some ability there for that people on the lowest incomes who are not homeowners not to be directly affected by rate increases. And, you know, just talk to any economist about that and they'll tell you that that is generally the case. Landlords say they'll put the rent up if their interest rates go up or their rates go up, but they only can ever put the rent up to the market rate, and they generally put it up at the market rate regardless of what their cost structure is.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Gough. I hope you're feeling a little bit better soon.
Yep, hopefully back. I've been working from the computer at home religiously, but hopefully back at work tomorrow if I show that negative test.
Fantastic. Well, take care and we'll talk to you next week. Ka kite.
Okay, thanks, Rachel. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Thank you.